Synergy loves company.
With activations across our Synergy machine.
We have this coterie of rich franchises, the company now, that people want to engage with.
I came here to try and continue what Walt Disney and his associates set in motion 50 years ago, which is to experiment with every new and innovative kind of entertainment possible.
It's what they hope to do here, to really develop something that, well, it's just more than an entertainment enterprise. It's something that contributes in many other ways.
Hey, this is Synergy Loves Company, where we explore how Disney connects to everything. It's that time of year again. It's Labor Day just passed. We got pumpkin spice things starting to come back. And of course, all the kids and the teachers have gone back to school. So to celebrate this back to school time of year, I have a very special guest keeping me company. She's a teacher, a Disney fan, and my sister, Caitlin Ebert. Welcome to Synergy Loves Company, Caitlin. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about education and Disney.
Right. And us coming from like a family of teachers. I had Adam on last time and he's also a teacher. We talked Marvel that time, but we got lots of teachers in our family, our brother and sister-in-law. So we're surrounded by teachers all the time. And of course, we like to surround ourselves with Disney stuff. So why don't you... say a little something about your Disney fandom. There's a lot of different Disney fans out there. Parks fans, movie fans, Disney Plus fans, Marvel fans, Star Wars fans. What kind of Disney fan would you consider yourself?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question because I feel like now I span into all of it.
Nice.
But starting with princesses as a kid and fairy tales and... you know, I still have a deep love for those, but now, like, I'm in the middle of watching all the Marvel movies, like, in chronological order. So, I love the parks. I wish I could go more, but I don't have the budget, as I am a teacher, to go all the time. But, you know, it's a special place that my kids and I and my husband love to go, and... we hope we can go every other year at least. So yeah, I've always been a big Disney fan. I'm very excited to, you know, combine education and Disney into conversation today. So that's about
nice.
It.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's you hit the nail on the head because we're going to kind of talk about sometimes when Disney got together with education, but specifically in ways that teachers are involved. We're both teachers. We're going to talk kind of about teachers and Disney. And let's get on into it. And I'm going to start with probably the most controversial Disney teacher thing that I possibly can. Maybe we'll get the controversy out of the way first, right? So we got to talk about Disney English because Disney hired a lot of teachers to teach English in China. So... in 2008 in Shanghai, which I'm going to point out, 2008 is important because Shanghai Disneyland wasn't greenlit until 2009. So that's an interesting correlation there. But in 2008 in Shanghai, Disney started a English language learning school. And this is from one of the promo things. What they described it as is they said Disney English was creating lifelong connections between Disney and young language learners all over the world. So had you heard about Disney English before I said we were going to talk about it?
I feel like you mentioned it earlier this year, but that was actually the first time I ever heard of it.
Yeah.
I have a little mixed feelings about it. I have a, ELL, whatever they're calling it now, endorsement. Yes. And so, you know, when I was watching the promos and things like that, you know, there were some really interesting things and theories that I agreed with, but then are the trainers teachers? That was my question.
Yeah. So from what I can tell, and it is closed now. It operated from 08 to 2020. It seems like the pandemic kind of led to its demise. But it seems like it's kind of like what we have here for like a Sylvan Learning Center or I'm trying to think of some of those, like those places where you could go for enrichment learning. Kumon. Yeah. And so they would get some, they could be teachers, but they would be getting like tutors. It's also kind of like a Teach for America thing where they would try to get Americans to go to China to become English teachers for the program. So it wasn't necessarily always certified teachers, like in the U.S., how teachers have to go through licensing and get certified. They said they had a teacher, like an English teacher who was monolingual usually.
Yeah.
And an assistant teacher, a co-teacher who was bilingual.
Which I think
China.
Is great.
Yeah. Right. To have more bodies, that's good.
I liked that combination of, you know, having kind of co-teaching.
Right. And I think that would be good, especially if you're coming as an English teacher into a brand new country, maybe not knowing all the customs and everything like that. I think that would be helpful in that situation. And as far as like the experience of being in one of those classrooms from videos and things like that, I could see that there was a lot of neat technology. You've got Disney behind it. They can throw essentially unlimited funds at it. They had these and this is from, you know, a few years back when it started.
I was just going to say like 2008, but like smart boards, that was a huge thing.
Right. To have a big touchscreen smart board in your classroom type thing. And they had that touchscreen smart board that was connected to a projector on the wall that would interact with each other. So it was very, very interactive and kind of high tech. Like, it, you know, especially I'll say a lot of classrooms I've been in still don't have all of that technology. Some do, some don't. But
it was high tech and very, like, I mean, based on entertainment, right?
Oh yeah. Which I'm glad you said based on entertainment, because a lot of the curriculum is Disney references and references to Disney films and teaching through Disney characters. And they say teaching through storytelling, which storytelling is a great way to teach. But what do you think about using the Disney characters to teach? Now, honestly, I might do this sometimes in my own classes, but I'm not being paid by them.
You know what? I think it's so smart in the fact of, you know, my soon-to-be two-year-old son can tell me who Buzz is, you know, Buzz Lightyear. He can recognize the Muppet Babies. You know, like, I think those are things that are just so universal, and just kind of like how children can recognize logos at an early age. Well, they recognize these Disney characters, and, you know, it does connect them immediately to learning. You know, it kind of brings them into it. So in that aspect, yes. But, you know, it always... You kind of wonder too, because they're selling this program.
Right.
Yeah.
They're selling this program, and they're also selling products and merchandise and new movies that are coming out in this country. And this is as Shanghai Disneyland is being built, and kind of for a while after it had been built. It does make you wonder, were they just priming the market for the arrival of Shanghai Disneyland?
Absolutely. Yes. So
that's where I think our controversy comes in. And it's kind of like, this is a weird question, but like, are ads, is it an ad in the classroom? Is it an advertisement in these English classrooms to have the Disney characters? Like, it works, but
yes.
Yeah. Right.
I would say so.
And it's like, I love Disney. And like I said, I've use Disney references in my own teaching and things like that. But of course, at the end of the day, they're not picking up the tab for my job. You know what I mean? They're not the ones that's by, you know, my choice to make a Toy Story reference or something like that. Where in this case, it was definitely part of the curriculum.
And even like when I watch the promo videos and such, like just watching the trainers, as they call the teachers, like dressed, they look like a cast member, you know, at a Disney park. Yeah, which I was kind of like, huh, you know, it looks like I'm in a Disney store.
Yeah, it does have a very Disney store vibe in some of those. And I'll have to put links to some of those videos we're talking about in the show notes so people could see that promo too. But it does have that very Disney store vibe. Mm-hmm.
Even the outside.
Yeah.
Of the building.
Oh yeah, it's kind of eye-opening in that way, that it in a way is a store. They're selling this English education, but it is with the Disney spin. So yeah, I don't know, too, like, you know, like there's pluses and minuses, but I think overall it seems a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about it. Like, oh, it's very shoved down the throat there, you know?
Yes. And as someone who does shove Disney down my throat on the daily, mm-hmm. I even still thought it was a little too much.
Yeah, right? Okay. Right?
So I'm with you there.
So my opinion won't be like, I'm not going to be banished from this podcast forever.
No. Saying. It's a little cringy that they, that it is what it is. Like, I get it. It's cool, but it's so much intertwined Disney with the business model for sure of teaching English that it was. Yeah, I think so too. There, like you said, though, it's some good things about like it those characters are recognizable, and it is easy for us as teachers sometimes to pull on a reference like that. We Don't Talk About Bruno was such a big song last year that pretty much every student knew the song. And if they didn't, I know our music teacher at our school used it in some lessons to teach rhythm and things like that. So it was like that came right in our classroom kind of organically because of like what was happening at the time. It wasn't pushed in there because of promotional content, but, you know, it happens. But I think it's the where it's coming from when it works and how it works.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
So this isn't the first time though that Disney pushed some content into our classrooms. This of course happened in China, but since 1969, the Disney Educational Media Company has existed. So this is after Walt's time, but you could say that Walt Disney got involved with educational films. If we look at like The True Life, those, you know, the nature documentaries, and those, I'm sure some of those were screened in an educational and informational kind of context before 1969 and Disney Educational Media. But in Disney Educational Media, we get some series of movies and VHS tapes and 16 millimeter films that would be sold to schools as like educational media, like you'd buy it with your textbooks kind of things. Now, I don't know if I'm just too much older than you, but do you remember ever watching like films? I'm gonna make myself feel really old. I can remember in kindergarten, they had like a slide projector, like a real with like a tape that would play and it would beep and we'd have to change the slide.
Okay, that was probably like outdated while you were in kindergarten.
Oh, it was. It was probably 30 years too old when I was in kindergarten.
Because I was going to say, you're only 5 years older than me. And I don't remember that.
So that was just them using some outdated stuff. And I'm just glad by 5 years later, they stopped doing that.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but like definitely the TVs on the carts, you know, roll in with the VCRs and
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the TVs on the carts. That day when that TV would roll in on the cart, it was like, yes.
Celebration.
Here we go. We're going to watch something. And you had a good chance of maybe watching one of these things. So probably one of the most famous things that has been under the Disney Educational Media Company banner is the VHS tapes for the school market of Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy, I know, was big to us. I still know of teachers who still show it today because he did a great job.
Yeah. We still, like, in my school, I still know of some teachers who will play it, you know, not as a full lesson, but just in supplemental, you know.
Yeah.
Like a supplementary, you know, lesson or just to help, you know, guide, you know, one of their lessons. So they still use Bill Nye to this day. And
right.
I approve of it.
Yeah, no, it's like, especially with YouTube and how you could, you don't have to pull that whole half hour episode to watch
right.
it. You could just pull that one segment on like the water cycle or something. And then it's going to be like the perfect little, you know, cap on your lesson of like, here's a different way to look at it. And yeah, Bill Nye, it was great back in the 90s when it was on TV. One of the ways that you could get it in your classroom, you could get him through the Disney Educational Media Company catalog and pay a pretty hefty price tag for a VHS tape. I think some of them would go from between like 100 to 200 bucks for one tape. So it was not cheap for these VHSs we're talking about here. But let's talk about one a little older. We'll go back. So film strips, we're talking about 16 millimeter film strips. They did not use these when I was in kindergarten. They used the slides. They didn't use the 15 millimeter film strips, but they had this series called the Lessons in Living series in the 70s and 80s. And I got a list of some of the titles that were used, and it was kind of hard for me to find versions of these for us to take a look at. But they did. I'll kind of list off some of them real quick. They had Alice in Wonderland, A Lesson in Appreciating Differences, Pinocchio, A Lesson in Honesty, Lady and the Tramp, A Lesson in Sharing Attention, and then Jungle Book, A Lesson in Accepting Change. Lady and the Tramp, I did mention. Fox and the Hound, A Lesson in Being Careful.
Yeah, so I never heard of these before.
Yeah.
Until, like, you had brought them up to me. And when I was watching them, the one thing I just kept thinking was, like, I kind of wish we had these now.
Yes.
Like updated versions of
for
them,
sure.
Like on Disney Plus. Like, I think for like the SEL, social emotional learning, like I think they would be really good for the kids. Especially, you know, we were kind of talking about how like bringing those characters in, is it cramming it down their throats? But I do think in that aspect of just a little dose, like I think that would really hit home with a lot of kids.
Oh, for sure. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because social emotional learning is getting bigger and bigger, especially after kind of returning back to normalish school after having some weird years with the pandemic. And having that come back, a lot of students are in different places as to their feelings about school and being home, you know, and different things like that. And I know like a lot of schools are doing a lot of social emotional learning, and these do kind of hit that pretty well. It's kind of funny. They have the little formats, like they have a kid who's like maybe having a trouble with something that's going on in their lives. And then someone kind of tells them the story, and then they could intersperse clips from like the Jungle Book or like Lady and the Tramp of like what's going on. I know I found on like the Progress City YouTube channel, a copy of the Lady and the Tramp one. I think you watched too. And it kind of explains like the young kid's family's having a new baby and like how he feels about being left out. And it's like a direct correlation to Lady's experience in Lady and the Tramp. So it kind of gives you the Cliff's Notes version of the movie, but like tuned into that.
And I think like updated with the movies that are coming out now between like the Pixar and Disney animation, updated with things that kids go through today.
Oh, yeah. Not
that they're different from the things that were from 1970s and 80s,
right.
But there are new complications and
for sure.
like hurdles that kids need to get through today. And I just think those would be really handy. You know, I would love those for my own children.
Definitely. I'm trying to think of like, I'm trying to in my head put together what's a good lesson I could already extract from a Disney movie to make one of these on my own.
I know, right? We can right? do this.
Yeah. Well, how are we gonna do this? We get the clips and we pitch it
can
to Disney Plus.
Can we still sell them for $100 to $200 like dollars?
Right, a copy. It's like not anymore with streaming. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would have all those. But no, you could totally, you know. Just you could use Encanto and do a whole thing about your family relationships and like it's all there and that would be pretty awesome.
Turning red
I think you could just
it's already one the whole movie is
you could just take Turning Red and sell it on the educational market here. Watch this, because that movie was great. Oh man, so there's another kind of lost gems. I found this one on one of my favorite websites, the Lost Media Wiki. It's a whole Figment. I want to call it a TV series, but it's a Figment series of these $100 to $250 tapes that schools could buy. And it's called Figment Language Arts Through Imagination. And it's the Figment character, and it's even voiced by the same voice actor Billy Barty who did his voice in The Ride, but he's teaching language arts ?
A little, this whole thing is confusing to me.
I don't know if I learned that much or if I could have learned that much language arts from this series. But I do appreciate a Figment show.
Appreciate a
Figment show.
I think we need one now in 2022.
Right? I think we do need more Figment in media to teach people who he is.
I'm just not sure it needs to be English language arts.
No, probably not. Now, there's like 11 episodes of this, and you could watch almost all of them, I think, through Lost Media Wiki. Was there any episode that you watched?
I think it was the first one. It was like the blue potato, maybe.
Yes. So that one's about, I think, like trying new foods and different things like that.
It was hard to piece together the parts that I saw. I was like, I'm not sure what's happening here.
And it's really weird. So I watched an episode about So I watched a few of them, but one of them I have to bring up because it was about dreams. And so it starts out and like Figment's having a dream, and then it flashes to some kids who have to write a story, and they're reading a book. They have to write a story, and then they're talking about do dragons dream, and they automatically disappear to this land where Figment is. He like transports them. And I was like, wait a minute.
Figonia or something?
Figonia, yes. And they get transported to Figonia, and right when they're like trying to write a story and they get transported to a magical dragon land, I was like, did they wish with all their heart to fly with dragons in a land of art? Is this Dragon Tales?
Right, different company.
Right, but it reminded me of that, and it has a very PBS feel.
It did. I will admit that for a second, like, I don't know, when I was looking at it, for some reason, I was like, wait, this isn't public broadcasted, right? And like, I had to double check, and I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. That wouldn't be. But it did. It's funny you say that, because I thought the same thing.
It does. Yeah, it very much dives into that. And it uses kind of that same familiar Disney education formula that I think is that we've talked about. So even with Disney English and some of the other educational media, a lot of the episodes go into when Figment's describing some part of like their writing process, or some sort of language arts thing. He talks about imagination, of course, and he shows clips from, he'll go into clips from Disney movies again, and kind of use that as an example. Of course, it's like they're going to use that large, that large media library,
They have it. Use it.
Exactly.
What I find interesting, though, is just thinking about it. Like, when I think of it now, I'm kind of like, ugh, like, these are ridiculous.
Yes.
But then when I place myself back in 1989, what did teachers have? You know, like, they can't just stream something instantly to their projector or their smart board or, you know, whatever they're projecting on.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to use media, then this is what was available to them. So I guess I can't, you know,
tear it
apart too much because it was good for the time.
And it was probably better quality produced, like a better produced product than something you would get from some other educational distributor who didn't have the budget that Disney did.
Oh, so yeah. They're going to be good at their production.
Oh, right. Right. Of course. They have the, you know, 88, 89 into the early 90s. They've got, you know, the studio in MGM Studios. So maybe we could even watch them make it there. And we've got, you know, of course, the Disney lot and everything. So they can turn this stuff out probably faster and better than most studios. And I think, I mean, the quality is great. I think it was a little shoehorned in there to try to fit language arts into Figment into
I feel like science would have been a better route.
Right.
Even.
And especially because this is, so it's part of the Disney Educational Media Company, but it's under the umbrella. There's a little tag at the beginning that feels very PBS. Like at the beginning of these videos, they show the Disney Educational Media, and then they go into the Epcot Educational Media logo that says they're sponsored by, and it shows some of the pavilion sponsors like AT&T underneath. And I think that's where, like, we think about today, like STEM, like that science, engineering, technology, math field. And it's like the Epcot and that STEM go hand in hand, where I think that, like you said, science might have been a better way to go with some of these videos. And we're going to go to Epcot because this is the coolest thing in the world. And I wish we would have done this when it was still around. But I don't know if we did or not. Our dad being a teacher, we totally could have done this in the early 90s. But
yes.
There's the Epcot Teacher Center and Outreach Library.
Amazing.
Right? So like,
yeah.
Let's get into this a little bit. We'll talk about it. And then I got to ask you some questions about today and this kind of idea. But so it was open from 83 to 94. That's the whole time that section of the park was called Communicore, before it was Interventions, before it became part of whatever world celebration and Moana, the Journey of Water is coming soon, all that stuff. So it was part of Communicore West, and teachers could go there to the Teacher Center and request materials based on the Future World Pavilions. So they would have, you know, things about energy, world of motion, all that kind of transportation, communication, living seas. You could get stuff about the oceans, the land, all that really cool stuff. You could get materials for your classroom that you can get there. You could also then go to the outreach library, which from what I understand, I think only teachers could go to the teacher center. Anyone could go to the library and ask questions, but the library mostly had like reference desk answers to questions about Epcot. Like you'd be like, how many panels are on Spaceship Earth?
Oh, okay.
How many steps does it take to get around, you know, World Showcase and like different things like that. But
when I was reading about it, it did, like, there were some comments in there about how they really strictly enforce like teachers only because people wanted to come in and just get like free stuff.
Right.
And they wanted to make sure that it just went to the teachers, which I appreciate.
I do appreciate it. In the land of right now where you go to Disney parks and there's, you know, DVC lounges, Club 33s, there's Visa card holder experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, what about a teacher? What about a fun teacher experience? You know, so let's ask that. If you could have a special teacher's center in a Disney park, where do you think today that would be like the best place to put that?
Huh. A teacher. I mean, I would stick in Epcot. Are we talking like throughout the whole?
Yeah. I mean,
Disney?
Anywhere. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I would stick in Epcot. I don't know.
Yeah, Epcot does have that really great, like, right? Science. Even I when I read about it, it seemed like they did a lot with the front, Future World, but not as much with World Showcase that I think could have been done too.
Now, and another interesting like place to have it would be like Animal Kingdom. Yes. As well.
Yes, for sure. And that's where I was thinking too. I was thinking, of course, like World Showcase could use something that would be good for, you know, different countries, different, especially when we get all the extra booths at one of like Food and Wine to even right. incorporate those countries. But yeah, Animal Kingdom too. I know the last time we went to the parks, we finally got a chance to go out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. But we went out on the train, the Wilderness Express train, and did the whole like animators experience. And it was really great. Like, we hadn't done that before. We knew it was there, and it was one of those things that we always wanted to do. But like, you could really fit a teacher center out there too. I know it's out of the way, but that would be a great location to cater to us teachers. So Disney, bring back some teacher centers. Cause that
when you listen
great.
To this and right? take if you our listen, advice.
Disney, yes. That's how we'll know they're listening, if they magically make some teacher centers and we know they're listening. But yeah, no. So I think especially with all of those pavilions and all of the things that, you know, I could imagine. We went to Disney in the early 90s with a teacher, our dad, and he totally could have taken advantage of this. But I don't even know if we knew this was a thing at that time.
And maybe, yeah, I don't know how advertised it was. I mean, we were just kids, so.
Right. Or maybe he was like, I'm not doing that. I'm on vacation.
No. It's summer.
Right. I'm not thinking about going to some teacher center on my vacation. But no, I think it's cool. And I agree. I want it back. I think that would be something that would be really neat as a way
to... Yeah, I would love to go there and just, like, check it out if they still had that.
Right? Even if it's just, like, a cool teacher's lounge to be like, hey, teachers, as Disney, we respect you. Take a break. Here's a free can of pop. Like, you know, like have you know, here's a bag of chips. Have fun. Anything's good. That's really cool, and that's something that I'm glad it existed. I'll say that much. I'm glad it did exist, because that's really neat. And Disney at one point was recognizing teachers that way.
So you said it was 83 to 94.
Yeah.
So that was in that Eisner Wells era. Right.
So it came on board just before Eisner.
And then
So basically, when in 94, Epcot gets kind of a big refurbishment, like a big change. They change the name to Epcot 94 to make it sound like it's a World's Fair or something. And then they change it to Epcot 95. And they did that for a little while. But that's when Communicore changes to Innoventions, and they bring in more corporate sponsors. So then, of course, the corporate sponsors are what kind of push out the free teacher center. Right? Corporate spot. We can make more money off these sponsors than these teachers.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely where it went. But Michael Eisner, I'm glad you brought up Michael Eisner, because he loved teachers. Even though he got rid of our teacher center in 1994, just before that, in 1990, he created the Disney American Teacher Awards. And they went from...
Oh, my gosh.
Right? 1990 until 2006.
I did not know this was a thing. And then when I was watching the YouTube video, I was like, oh, this is good. That's like really nice. They're just, you know, celebrating teachers, honoring them. And then it's like, no, this is televised. There's celebrities here.
It's a big
deal.
Why
are we not still doing this?
Right? And I'm going to go back to Michael Eisner, because if you look at the years that it was done.
Yeah. That's totally
it stopped
him.
When he left. It stopped. And it kind of fizzled out. Like, it was the biggest in the 90s. And then by the time it was happening in 2006, I know it did get lesser than it was at the beginning. I think one of the later ones was announced on like the Wayne Brady Show, and it wasn't even held in a.
That's That's such a shame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Right. No, and it is like the Academy Awards when it was happening in the 80s or the 90s.
Shocked. Yes.
There's, you know, Robin Williams presenting, Oprah's there.
It's Harrison Ford.
Yes. Like, it's bigger than what they do at like D23 for the Disney Legends Awards. It was bigger than that kind of thing. Going on. It was an event. And that I go back to, we can thank Michael Eisner for that, because he put on a show, and they would recognize it wasn't just like one teacher, or we're gonna have a bunch, you know, this group of teachers. They would have like categories.
Yes.
Best language arts teacher, best social studies teacher, like overall best teacher.
I would watch that every year.
Right.
Like, maybe that's just the teacher nerd in me.
But, of course.
But I don't know, just to be, you know this, but like being a teacher is sometimes a thankless job, right?
For sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, so like to have something like that, just amazing. We're so used to celebrating celebrities and athletes with things like that, events, that it's like, yeah, no, we should be doing this for teachers. And it's just a shame they don't have it anymore. And out of everything that we talked about today, like, that's, if I got to pick one thing to bring back, it would probably be that.
Right? Because, no, yeah. It is. It was a great idea. It was a great idea. And I think it's one of those things that, like, was a passion project, and he made it. And it was great when it ran. Like, some of the older things that I've seen of it, They were awesome. They were, like you said, star-studded events. But I think it's one of those things where, like, over time, of course, the profits are always going to be the thing that drives it. And it wasn't happening. And then when you look at when it stopped around 2006, like, it kind of fizzled and then stopped when Eisner was ousted or left, however you want to look at it. It was just his thing. It was really his thing. And it was great. It was great. And I do want it back. So that was, it's really cool. And like that too, we were talking about videos. I'll put links to that promo for this on our show notes too. So if you want some reference on that, because some of this stuff is a little off the beaten path that we're talking about today. So that was really cool. So Disney's not out of the education game. Maybe they got out of giving teachers awards, and they don't have to make $200 cassette tape or VHS tapes anymore. Yikes. If it was a $200 cassette tape, that would be really bad. but they don't have to make $200 VHS tapes anymore, because we have streaming in Disney Plus and YouTube and things they could put out there. But I do have to say they are still in the game with the Disney Imagination Campus, which launched in 2022. So it's new for this year. Disney Imagination Campus, they boast having two campuses. One they show is Walt Disney World, and one they show is Disneyland. And it's done in a collaboration with Kahoot, which teachers out there will love. You know, they'll be like, oh yeah, I know Kahoot. I use Kahoot. Do you use Kahoot? Have you used Kahoot?
I have. That's, I don't in my position anymore.
Right.
But
yes. It's like one of those things that among teachers, it's the really cool quiz show kind of activity you could do with your class, with, you know, your smart board or students having computers or devices in front of them. It's really great. So Disney with Kahoot made this Imagination Campus program, and it includes performing arts, arts and humanities, science and technology, and leadership and innovation. So they have these different kind of field trip experience classes that you can take at the Disney parks. So you could bring your group from your school to the Disney parks and experience one of these things. And even if you can't make it, you can, I went and looked, you can do the Kahoots from these programs in your classroom. Some of them are relevant. Some of them only really work for the program.
Yeah.
But what do you think about bringing a group of students
This I like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I was just going to say, what do you think about bringing?
This is really neat.
Yeah.
I think they finally, they got it with this one.
Yeah.
But I like how expansive it is, and it covers different aspects. There's performing arts, science, technology, leadership, not forgetting that, which is important. But I do really like this. I kind of want to know more about it, though, because since it's so new, like, I don't know too much. But so far of what I've seen, I'd be super interested. And I want to do it.
Right. I'm going to try to blow your mind here right now, because I did a little digging on it, and it is hard to find new information, but I did a little bit of digging in what it is kind of came out of is the Disney Performing Arts on Stage program, which you actually participated in as a kid with your dance studio. So
yeah.
It's part of, that's where it came from. And they just kind of expanded it out to include, now it's not just for performing arts kids.
I mean, that's really neat, because I will forever remember that experience of dancing in Disney. We did it twice.
Yeah.
And each time it was just so cool, because as, you know, a young performer, I got to talk with the performers.
Yeah.
We went backstage and went in their own practice studios. You know, they took us around behind the scenes. We got to perform. You know, we had like a mock audition, and they gave us tips and tricks. Like, I learned so much from it. And but now that I know that it's there for people who love science,
right,
and people, you know, like, who want to venture into these different avenues and not just performing arts, like, that's so exciting.
Oh yeah. I'm glad they expanded this out. It almost feels, it gives me kind of a feel of the Disney Institute, which had been around in the 90s too, which was another Michael Eisner pet project of kind of like going to Disney to better yourself and learn something. Which they had for a while back in the day, kind of combined with that Performing Arts on Stage program. And it's really, it really leads a lot of opportunity for teachers and students to go and kind of have great experiences. I think it would be great. It would be awesome, really, to bring a group of kids to do something like this at one of the parks and get to work with Imagineers, or even the performing arts. And just kind of the art they have, even the arts and humanities, I think, leans into kind of the storytelling aspect. So kind of even into the animation end a little bit.
Okay.
So it kind of, now it's touching every facet of the company, which is pretty wide and diverse, and it's just pretty cool. And this is another one that I'm glad it does still exist, or it exists now. And it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think they finally kind of nailed it on the head for education.
Yeah, no, really, it's really cool. I will say, there are some resources. I'll talk. I'm gonna throw this out here, because there are some resources I've used to try to do essentially Imagination Campus and try to bring it into my room. Of course, I'm not trained as an Imagineer or anything like that, of course, but I would love to kind of give that kind of engineering design principle into that kind of blue sky process to students. So one of the ways that was really cool is Disney did do a collaboration with Khan Academy, Disney Imagineering and Khan Academy. There's some videos and some lessons that go into kind of developing a theme park ride. And then I also have these books. I got to show off books, of course, as a librarian. I have Creating Disney Classroom Magic, which does have a foreword by Imagineer Rolly Crump. And it says, using lessons from the life of Walt Disney to create an experimental prototype classroom of tomorrow. So that one is pretty cool. And it goes into more like Walt Disney's life and kind of what we can learn from that. And then there's this one, which is really neat. Oh, this one, I should have said who it's by. This is by Shauna Pollock. And of course, I'll put links to these for any teachers out there who want to look these ones up. And then this one is Designing Disney-Inspired Classrooms by Howie DeBlasi and Ryan Beckman, I think it is. And it's also another great kind of using those Disney principles, those things you would learn from something like a Imagination Campus in your own classroom. So I've done some projects from these, and they're both pretty cool books. So anyway, times I could bring Disney into my classroom, I know. I try to do it when I can. All right. So, Caitlin, thanks so much for coming on and talking about Disney and being a teacher in education. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I got to ask this question. Is there anything you want to promote?
You don't have anything, a cool blog, right? You know what I want to promote is reading. Yeah. Go read a book.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that too, because I'm going to go ahead and promote on your promotion. And I'm going to say that this month is actually the ALA's Go Out and Get Your Library Card. So if you need something to read, go get your library card. I'm glad you promoted reading. Because that's awesome. So once again, you know what?
You don't even have to read a book. It could be a magazine, newspaper, graphic novel, whatever you want.
I love it. Yeah. The side of a cereal box. Whatever you can find. I love it. No, so thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on and talking teaching and Disney. There's some really interesting, great stuff out there that we can talk about. And we did. And like I said, we'll put notes on everything on that where you could find it in the show notes. But also you can find me on Twitter at Eric H. Synergy. And you could find me on Instagram and Facebook at Synergy Loves Company. If you want to visit synergylovescompany.com, you could find this more about this podcast. You could find my YouTube channel, all that great stuff. So go there and check it out. And above all, like if you really like the show, or even if you know someone who would really like the show, I would appreciate it if you tell a friend about Synergy Loves Company and send them our way so they could enjoy our awesome show, especially for this one. If you know a teacher out there who you think might find this interesting, send them this way to give this a listen. So thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to meet up with you again next time.